Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, I'd like to ask you to stay with me. It's going to be 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, but no manipulation because we don't con people. We don't have hidden agendas. We're not trying to solicit money. We're not trying to sell you anything. This show is simply about giving you accurate information. That information will help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And if you would like to orient and adjust to that plan, you have the freedom, the privacy to do so. But my job is to be accurate, not mislead you, not to try to play with your emotions, but to give you solid, sound, pertinent information that you can make good decisions on. Because it's your life, and you've got one shot at it to get it right. And that's all we all have, one shot. And we all have something inside of us. God gave us a chooser, a decider, and we call it the volition. The volition is where we make our choices, where we make our decisions. We are all responsible for our decisions. And so some decisions are good. Some decisions are bad. We have a little saying, we even have a bumper sticker with it that says, bad decisions limit future options. Bad decisions limit future options. And it is so easy to make bad decisions. Because we don't have the right information. In the spiritual realm, we get deluded by Satan and deceived by Satan into thinking we have the right information when actually we don't. In the physical realm, it's easy to overlook the obvious and to get arrogant and to justify why we do certain things that we should not do. And so as we face the world, spiritually and physically, we make decisions every day that often come back to give us a lot of trouble. And so bad decisions limit future options. And on the Flatline, what we try to do is to give you enough of the Word of God so that you can understand what your options are, so that you can know your options. Remember, flot is the forward line of troops. It's a military term. We're trying to give you at least 10 unique problem-solving devices that will allow you to stop the outside sources of adversity from becoming the inside sources of stress, because adversity, heck, it's inevitable. But stress is always optional for the Christian. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be bitter. We don't have to be antagonistic. Those are mental attitudes, sins that we don't have to do if we follow the protocol plan of God. Because God has a plan. God has a plan. It's called the protocol plan of God. Simply means this. Protocol means the right thing has to be done in the right way. And when we're dealing with God, we cannot make our own rules up. We must follow His rules. We must do the right thing in the right way. And that means that any time we live for our Heavenly Father, whether we pray or whether we give or whether we sing or whether we do anything as a Christian, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. There's a right way to go to church and a wrong way to go to church. There's a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray. And we've covered that on this show constantly. Constantly. But there is something I want to cover with you today that I haven't touched on in a long, long time. And that's a little four-letter word. No, it's not a dirty word, but it's an awful bad word. That little four-letter word is H-E-L-L. Hell. Is there really a hell? In today's society, many people do not believe that a loving God could actually send someone to a place called hell. And oftentimes we disbelieve that it even exists. And you'll hear people say, the only hell I've known is the hell on earth. But I assure you, that is not the hell the Bible is speaking of. So I want to examine this a little bit for you today. Take just a few moments and look at it with you. Hopefully it will encourage you that you are not going there. And it might encourage you to speak with folks who may be destined to go there unless they begin to make some good decisions. The best single decision you could ever make, the single most significant, the single most important decision is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is your ticket out of hell. If you put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, you are guaranteed by God the Father that you will not go to hell. Because the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. And that's where the journey for the Christian starts, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So, what is this place called hell? And who goes there, and how long do you actually stay there? We'll start in Luke 16, and we'll read a passage in Luke 16. And that passage deals with the rich man in torments. In torments, he lifts up his eyes, and he sees Abraham. And he asks Father Abraham to send him some water on the tip of his tongue. Abraham said, I can't do that, my son. There's a great gulf between us. And then he asked for someone to go warn his family about this place. And Abraham said, they've got Moses, they've got the prophets, and if they don't listen to them, they won't listen to Moses, even if he walked out of the dead. This rich man was in torments. The beggar was in the bosom of Abraham. He was being blessed. The beggar was the believer. The rich man was the unbeliever. It's all found in Luke 16, 19 through 31. I'm not going to read the entire passage for you, but I want you to understand that the people that go to torments are the people that go to hell, or the people that go to Hades, all three the same place, are in fact unrighteous people. Unrighteous doesn't mean that they aren't good. That's not the point. The Bible says there are none that are righteous, no, not one. All of our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag in God's eyes. And so if the unrighteous go to hell, how do we become righteous enough to go to heaven? And the Bible says, he that knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we may be made the righteousness of God through him. It's through Jesus Christ that we get our righteousness. On the cross, there was a trade. He took your sin, and when you believe in him, he gives you his righteousness. So that when God the Father looks at you, he doesn't see you standing cloaked in your own righteousness. He sees you standing cloaked in the righteousness of Christ. The rich man was in hell, torments, Hades. It's the same Hebrew equivalent as Sheol. It's the place where the unbelievers are housed until the final judgment. It does appear from reading this passage in Hades, they lost their conscience and have full use of their memory, all the while being tormented. And it's apparent from this passage that at the time, Hades or hell had two different compartments. One was for the righteous and one was for the unrighteous. And the reason for that is that the Lord Jesus Christ had not yet ascended. Thus no one could go to the presence of God before Christ did. But once he ascended, then the righteous who were in Abraham's bosom or in paradise, as described in Luke 16, they were then taken to the presence of God, or what we know as heaven. Listen to Ephesians 4. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that also descended is the same that also ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Remember our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross when he said the famous words that we know so well in the Greek New Testament, tetelestai, or it is finished, and he willed himself to die. No one killed him. He willingly gave up his spirit. They were amazed that he was dead, and yet he was. But his soul and his spirit ascended into Hades, but not into the place of torments, no, into Abraham's bosom. His body went to the grave. And then all of these righteous people in Abraham's bosom were delivered from that to the presence of God. and Jesus Christ, our Lord, his soul and spirit reunited with his body, and he was resurrected. So that's what he did. He, now this whole place that we have known in this Luke passage as the place of torments, is now what we call today in the Bible hell. It's no longer two compartments. It's no longer Abraham's bosom and the place of paradise and the place of torments. Now it's hell. Now it's Gehenna. Now it's Hades. The whole place. In the gospel, our Lord uses that word Gehenna 11 times to describe the place of torments, and is translated into the English word hell. It's the place where the unrighteous await the great white throne of judgment. So the first question is, who are the unrighteous? And in John 8:24, Jesus Christ, our Lord, speaking, recorded by John, said this to the Pharisees, the ones that did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. He said these words, "I say therefore unto you, that you will die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sin." That's an unrighteous person. A person who dies in his sin is a person who rejects Jesus Christ as Savior. In 1 John 5:11 through 13, the Bible says, "This is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Right there you hear the word "know," that you may know that you have eternal life. Who are the ones that know that? The ones that believe on the name of the Son of God. This is where eternal life is. Jesus Christ is eternal life. And when we have Christ, we have eternal life. And this verse says, "He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And so by not believing in Jesus Christ and receiving him as your Savior, you do not have eternal life. In 1 John 5:5, the Bible says, "Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" You don't overcome the world by being good. You don't overcome the world by joining something or giving up something. Because the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man would brag about it." The grace is the gift of God. The faith is your belief in the finished work of Christ on the cross. "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man would brag about it." So Jesus Christ, our Lord, the anointed Son of God, is the key to us going to heaven. In Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11, the Bible says this, "Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." There is proof evident that he is the anointed Son of God. There is written plainly, the only way that you can have eternal life is to believe that Jesus is the anointed Son of God. In Matthew 25:41, the Bible tells us that hell was not prepared for you and me, that it was actually prepared for Satan and his angels. To understand this, we would have to go back into prehistoric time before man was created and understand what we call the angelic conflict. We would understand that Satan revolted in heaven, that he tried to assume the throne of God and be equal with God, that he was cast out and cast down, and that the lake of fire, as we will discover, was prepared for him, not for you. But 2 Peter 3, verse 9 tells us this, "God is not willing," and I'm quoting now, that any should perish. So there is not one person that God wants to go to hell. Hell is a final place for Satan and the fallen angels, but not for you. You have an option. You have a choice. You can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. So here's what we have so far. Hell does exist, and it has always existed since the creation of the world. Unbelievers are sent to hell, where they await the final judgment. And in hell, the lost are aware of their condition, and they suffer in darkness and in fire. Now, hell is not the lake of fire. That may be the shocker to you, but if I were to say, don't worry about hell, you're not going to be there forever, that would be a stupid thing to say. But actually, it is true, because you are delivered from hell to the great white throne of judgment, and then you're cast into the lake of fire if you're an unbeliever. Hell is not the final resting place. But there's also another place called the bottomless pit. This is seen in Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent who's the devil, and Satan. And he bound him up for 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he will be loosed for a little season. The bottomless pit is where Satan is held during the millennial reign of Christ. If we go into dispensational theology, we understand this, that we are in what's called the church age, the mystery doctrine of the church. No one understood this in the Old Testament. They didn't write about it. And our Lord Jesus Christ began to reveal it once he was rejected by his own, that the Gentiles would now be brought into the kingdom. And we have entered into the church age, which is, as Paul wrote, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And living in the church age, we have some unbelievable assets. This church age will terminate with the resurrection, the exit resurrection of the dead. This is seen in 1 Thessalonians 4, when Jesus Christ our Lord comes back to this planet, and he receives those that are believers unto himself. We call it the rapture. And those that are dead will rise first, the Bible says. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain together shall be caught up with them in the clouds, and thus we'll evermore be with the Lord. And this could happen tomorrow. There's nothing to stop this. This prophecy is ready to be fulfilled. You could wake up tomorrow and find millions of people missing if you're not a Christian. And you may wonder where they went, what happened to them. They will be raptured, taken out of this world, taken straight to heaven, given an interim body, and they will await their resurrection body. But once that rapture occurs, there's 1 7-year period of Jewish history left, and we know it as the tribulation. And this is where Satan goes wild. This is where the Antichrist comes in. This is where the 666 is mentioned. This is where the beast and the false prophet are. If you're a believer, you won't be here. Don't worry about taking the mark of the beast. You won't be here. You will be in heaven. You will have eternal life. Once this 7 years is up, once he has done all of his murdering and all of his killing, then God the Father will send the Son back, and we will come back with him. And he will set up his kingdom on this earth. And it will be a 1,000-year millennial kingdom. And it's during this 1,000 years that Satan is incarcerated. He is locked into the bottomless pit. Revelation 9 says that bottomless pit is an eternal prison for fallen angels who left their first abode. Jude 1:6 says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of that great day. And in Revelation 9:11, we find out that they even have a king 9:11 says they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. So this is the chief fallen angel locked up in the pit. He will be let out during the tribulation, and they will wreak havoc on this earth. However, Satan, at the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years, will be locked up again, incarcerated, and held in that bottomless pit. He will be let out for a season at the end of the millennial reign of Christ, but then he will be brought before the great white throne of judgment. Listen to Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now when this takes place, Satan is already in the lake of fire. The false beast, the dragon, they're already, false prophet, the dragon, they are already in the lake of fire. This is the final judgment. Did you hear what it said? The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. If you're in hell as an unbeliever, you will be brought out of hell, and you will be brought before the great white throne of judgment. And there are two books to be opened. The first is the book of life, and the second is many books. The books, it's plural, the books of works. Now, the first question is your name in the Lamb's book of life? Well, how does it get there? Your name is put there when you're born. But if you die having rejected Christ as Savior, your name is erased and you have died the first death. This is the second death in the lake of fire. Listen again. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So you see, either you're going to be born twice or you're going to die twice. The first birth is your physical birth. The second birth is your spiritual birth. But if you do not believe in Jesus Christ and receive the forgiveness that God offers through him, then your first death is your physical death. And your second death is cast into the lake of fire. And so, is his name in the Lamb's book of life? The answer is no. He's not a believer. He never trusted Jesus Christ. He might have been religious. He might have been self-righteous. But he did not believe that Jesus Christ was the anointed Son of God. The Bible says, in that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in thy name? And in thy name, did I not cast out devils? And in thy name, did I not do many wonderful works? And he said, I will tell them, I never knew you. Depart from me. It is possible for a religious person to go to hell. It is possible for a religious person to spend eternity in the lake of fire. This is what religion does, and this is what Satan uses. He doesn't want to go to the lake of fire either. And he is always trying to vindicate himself by using you. And if you buy into this thing that if you're a good person and if you belong to the right denomination and if you don't drink and you don't smoke, you know what I mean, you don't do certain things, that you're going to go to heaven, then you're buying into the lie. Because the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the shedding of his blood. He did it. He paid for our sin. There's no way that we can approbate a just God. There's no way that we can make up for our sin. Only the innocent Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish, He was the only one that could do it. And he did it. So is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? No. You did not believe that. You went about it your own way. You didn't have faith alone in Christ alone. So then we go to the next books, plural. And since your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, then all the books are open. Okay, well, what all did you do here? You did this, you did this, you gave this, you did that. Guilty, guilty, guilty. All of your righteousness cannot equal the righteousness of God. If it could, you would go to heaven. If you could equal God's righteousness, you would go to heaven. But the problem is, the Bible says, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and now death is passed on all, for all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. One small sin in your life, if you're trying to earn your way to heaven, will disqualify you, because that's not perfection. Only Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish, he was perfection. He went to the cross. He took our place. He was judged for us. And if you want to avoid the lake of fire, if you want to avoid spending eternity in hell awaiting the lake of fire, then believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It is the simplest thing any man could do. Even a child can do it. It's just an act of faith. You've heard the facts. You must make your own mind up. Answer one simple question for me. If you died today, would you go to heaven? Would you? Because if you can't answer that confidently saying, yes, I would go to heaven because I have received Christ as my Savior. If you can't say that, then what would stop you from doing it now? Now is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Now you can pray wherever you are, quietly, and you can tell God you are believing in His Son, Jesus Christ. You're trusting in Him and nothing else, and you will be saved. Because God is not a liar. And the Bible says, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.